Catherine Walsh is my next guest. Catherine Walsh is noted for her long poems and experimental forms, and City West, completed in 2000, is her most recent such work, following Pitch in 1994. Until the Shearsman publication, City West was only available in an Irish small press edition with a small print run. Now Catherine Walsh is working on another long text, Optic Verve, which Shearsman hopes to publish upon its completion. Catherine Walsh was born in Dublin, growing up between that city and rural Wexford. She now lives near Limerick, Ireland. Optic Verve is her seventh book, following The Cop, Hater, Pillar Thing, and more besides, Making Tents, Short Stories, and others. She'll be talking about some of those books, reading from her poetry, and she'll be joining our first guest this afternoon. That was Laura Mullen, at a reading a week from tonight at 126 Voorhees. That's on the UC Davis campus, right near the corner of First and A Streets. And I'm very pleased to welcome her to this program. Catherine Walsh, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, we're excited to have you come read with Laura Mullen a week from a week from tonight. I know that I reached you at a California phone number, so I'm wondering if you could say a little bit more about geography and how it is that we will have you in Davis next week.
Okay, well, I've been here at UC Berkeley for the fall semester as the Holloway Lecturer in the Practice of Poetry, and I've been enjoying my time here, getting to know people, getting to know the place.
Excellent. I'm wondering what are the most notable or interesting differences between Berkeley and the sort of locations where you're used to writing your poetry?
Well, in terms of California or North America, a difference of scale, that's the most noticeable difference.
Mm-hmm.
And differences in, you know, population density, demographies. But the difference in scale is quite marked to anywhere in Ireland.
I'm sure. Do concerns of geography come up in many of your poems?
They do in different ways, and geology, they are aspects of treating the context in which we live and move, and so they inevitably arise through my work.
Sure. I mentioned in your introduction that you're noted for your long poems and experimental forms.
Yeah.
And as we have many listeners who, unlike yourself and myself, have not taught a number of workshops on poetry for California college students, I'm wondering if you could say some more about what experimental forms, what that means to you, and how you approach that.
Well, I suppose to simplify it a bit, it would make sense to tell your audience that I work in books. I don't usually work in single pieces, single poems of, you know, a defined length. I work in book-length pieces. And I tend to use the page as my unit of composition, though it is not the only thing I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things I do. So it can be harder to extract sometimes out of context, but some pieces become something else extracted, but that's fine. They become something else when they go out there anyway.
Sure. I think it's interesting to hear you talk about working in books. I think because each of us is potentially a rather rudimentary publisher because of how easy it is to blog and share and mm-hmm. post things and so forth. I would imagine that it takes a certain kind of patience in order to, as you say, work in books, but also always a redefining holistic sense of what it means to write a book rather than a collection of potentially disparate poems.
It does, yes. It takes time and it takes commitment. They're the most difficult aspects of it. It's takes a very long time. I think that as regards redefining what we might think of as a book of poetry, well, lots of people have been doing that for years.
Right.
I think that's an evolving story and an evolving issue. And the only way to see where it brings us is to keep doing it. I'm interested in that.
Excellent. If you're just joining us at home, my guest is Catherine Walsh this afternoon. She is an Irish poet who's the author of a great number of books. Her most recent, is your most recent book City West?
My most recent book is Astonished Birds, Cara, Jane, Bob, and James. That's just out in 2012.
Congratulations.
And I have two other, after City West, I have Optic Verve. That did come out from Shearsman. I think it came out in 2009.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Good, good. And you'll be reading to us a week from tonight at 126.4. He's on the UC Davis campus.
That's right, with Laura Mullen.
Good. I'm wondering, to dovetail on what we were talking about a moment ago, if you could say something about your own writing process, and especially what part, if any, technology and networks and sharing and so forth has in that the way that you approach, for instance, writing a book of poetry.
Okay. The way I approach writing a book of poetry is I think a lot. And I write longhand initially. Anything else that happens after that is the product, is the consequence, mm-hmm. the initial stages. I tend not anymore, really, over the last 10 years or so, I tend not to publish a whole lot of the book that I'm working on until it's nearly there, though I will read parts of it at, you know, readings and festivals. Mostly because I'm just not happy enough with it to put it out there.
Right.
Yeah. I type on a typewriter still some of the time, but that's becoming increasingly difficult because it's so hard to get proper ribbons. I have to order them on the internet from England. And they don't fit properly, so I get covered in purple ink. I do it because I have immediate physical copies, which I can then continue to annotate and change as I'm working on the next pages. And I can see at a glance the layers of annotations without having to waste time changing screens or using two monitors at the same time and endlessly using the keyboard and the mouse.
Right.
I've actually just found it quicker. I've tried the two monitors thing and it slowed me down.
Interesting.
And I like to be able to see all the changes. I like to, at a glance, just, I don't want to spend time if I'm looking back thinking, okay, what exactly did I do there? I just want to see it and then move on and put it the way I want it to be. And then I sometimes use an electric typewriter because it's quieter and doesn't disturb my neighbors and I can get ribbons for it.
Mm-hmm.
And really only when I'm kind of halfway satisfied with it do I bother putting it onto the computer, unless I'm traveling and, you know, I just have to have more at that stage, really, in order to be able to work while I'm traveling.
I guess you have to think more about materials and living a more compact life when you're traveling.
You do, indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there certain poets that perhaps some of our listeners this afternoon might not know so well that are favorites of yours, poetic heroes of yours that you'd like to draw their attention to?
Poetic heroes. I don't know. I think I'm too old to have poetic heroes anymore.
Uh-huh.
I am a very eclectic reader. I read all kinds of books and all kinds of material. I have very wide-ranging interests, and I read all kinds of poetry. I could say Coleridge, and people might be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I could say Susan Howe, and other people might be surprised. I could say any number of, you know, Irish. I could say Yeats. I could say...
I could
say Beckett.
Yeah. Americans might be somewhat less surprised to hear you say Yeats or Beckett, I suppose. But
yeah, well, it wouldn't be The View at the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't mind, let's hear an example of your work to give people an even greater sense of anticipation of your reading a week from tonight at 126 Voorhees on the UC Davis campus.
Okay. So, the first thing I read is from Short Stories, which is a very early book. It's about 26 or 25 years old. A list of plates, names seen on clear nights from the railway halt. Two men stand by the lighthouse, orange boy, blue ship, sea still, and I continue, with faint hope of ever seeing the ghost of laughing water. Unlikely Stories. Pliny's Rome, an account of oriental locusts which grew so large their legs were dried and used for saws. Those omnipresent creatures, the principles of classification, the economic relationships, specification. I have not applied for any job. Preparing themselves, adjusting to the world, finished with the room or it with some kind of natural conclusion reached. When dragonflies flew around on wings with a 2-foot span, huge ferns were the predominant plant form. Areas to explore, flawed reasoning, the assumed centrality, flaw, paucity of numbers. That was
beautiful.
From Short Stories.
I really enjoyed it. And that was from your book, Short Stories, one of, is it 8 books now? That you have. I know that Optic Nerve is 2009 from Shearsman Books.
That's right. I've Optic Verve out and I have Astonished Birds out, so it must be 8 now, I think.
You must really be accomplishing something if it's difficult to keep count of all the books that you've published. So,
I suppose I'm always moving on.
Good for you. Well, Catherine Walsh, who will be reading a week from tonight at 126 Voorhees on the UC Davis campus here in Davis, California. Thanks so much for joining me today on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to it.
Same here. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.